In January, a message from an extraterrestrial source was picked up at the Parkes Observatory in Australia. A new sequence of DNA, friendly instructions on how to combine it with ours.
This growth is amazing.
The decision was made to terminate the experiment.
We have a serious emergency on our hands.
I want a team to track her. Hunt her down.
You created a monster. Now you want us to kill it.
We decided to make it female so that it would be more docile and controllable.
More docile and controllable. Well, I guess you guys don't get out much.
She wants to have a baby.
She'll kill anyone that gets in her way.
I wouldn't hurt you.
Yes, you would. Just don't know it yet.
She can have a dozen babies. She can lay 1,000 eggs.
Something's wrong.
No! She's here!
Get out of there!
Open the damn door!
Hey!
Oh, God.
Welcome to They Call This a Movie, testing the strength of friendships one terrible movie at a time. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and other podcast services by searching They Call This a Movie. We are part of the Main Damie Network, and to find more from us, check out the website at themaindamie.com or on Twitter and Facebook at themaindamie. Welcome back to the They Call This a Movie. I am Anthony Delvecchio, and with me, as always, is Dan Aquino and Mark Meyer. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hey, everyone.
Hello, Internet.
Yes, so we are coming to you. This is the, I would say, second week of September. This, when you hear this, will be going up on September 13th. And coming this week is the movie The Predator, the long-awaited, I guess, re-entering of the Predator franchise that was made famous back in the 80s by none other than Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't really know much about this movie coming up. I just saw a preview on it at one of the football games. But other than that, I am completely in the dark by who's in it, where it lies on the timeline, and what have you. But for this week, we are doing a movie in conjunction with the new release of The Predator, with a movie that is near and dear to my puberty heart. And that movie is Species, released in 1995, directed by Roger Donaldson, who actually has a, from what I remember when I was looking him up, actually quite a laundry list of movies that people remember that I don't remember off the top of my head right now, so I am trying to stall for time while I look him up on IMDb.
Yeah, it's brave of you to admit that Ben Kingsley was a big part of your puberty.
Oof, bald head. Roger Donaldson also directed Cocktail, the Tom Cruise movie, 13 Days, the Cuban Missile Crisis movie starring Kevin Costner, The Bank Job with Jason Statham, Dante's Peak. Everybody loves Dante's Peak. Far superior to Volcano, starring Tommy Lee Jones.
only one of those had an old lady walking through acid and then completely fine afterwards.
Oh, right. She dies. And it wasn't like acid, really. It was like sulfuric, right? It was like it's not your typical like mad scientist acid.
Yeah. Hopefully they make another Volcano movie so that we can watch Dante's Peak and discuss it.
That'd be great.
So obviously based on that, a filmography, Roger Donaldson is C or D list in terms of directors. Cocktail is probably his most famous movie. Species is probably his most famous movie. But this came out in 1995, and I was a wee lad of 10. And to say, by the time I hit 12 and 13, it was on HBO quite a bit. And I thank the programmers at HBO for that.
Yes.
But, guys, what's your experience? Don't have to go into too much detail with Species.
Well, I just watched this movie for the first time about 3 hours ago. And I enjoyed it for the most part. I could definitely see myself being a 11, 12 year old teen, you know, kid, and thoroughly enjoying this movie.
Yep. My one memory from back then is the final sex scene and the climactic end of the movie. That is the only scene that I remembered before going in to watch this again for this. So there were a lot of things that I was like, oh, I think my main line was, there were so many good actors in this movie for such a mediocre story.
It's a weird thing, you know, because this is like, it's like you would call like an erotic sci-fi thriller, I guess. And the amount of talent in front of the camera is incredible. I mean, obviously a lot of these people made their names for themselves after the fact, but it's like that weird time in like the early 90s where they were really pushing the envelope for, you know, how much sex they could show in a movie. Basic Instinct was around this time, like, and with like real name actors like Kim Basinger, Sharon Stone was in Basic Instinct, and Demi Moore was in Disclosure and Striptease. You know, it's like these really A-list actors pushing the envelope in these trashy movies that we're actually seeing like real deal distribution and theatrical releases.
Yeah. Don't forget about the ever famous Poison Ivy series around this
time.
That's right. That's true. I've seen Poison Ivy.
Poison Ivy, that was with Drew Barrymore, right?
Yep. And two is Alyssa Milano. And three is Jamie Presley?
Yeah, that sounds
right.
I feel like those two, the sequels were direct to videos.
Yeah, so. But it's still like that series had a lineage for young actresses, just like mm-hmm. Species did, as this was introducing, you know, a star.
So we'll get it right into the cast right now. This stars Oscar winner Ben Kingsley.
Yes.
Oscar winner Forest Whitaker. Then you have Michael Madsen.
Not an Oscar winner.
No, but he, as we were saying off air a little bit, if Michael Madsen had a heyday, this is right in the middle of his heyday. So yeah. I'm just going to run through a few of his movies within this time period. 1991, he is in both Thelma and Louise and The Doors. 1992 is his breakout role in Reservoir Dogs. In 1993, he is in the family-friendly breakout success Free Willy. And he's also
in that?
And in 1994, he's in the Kevin Costner Wyatt Earp. He was also in Free Willy 2, I think in 95 as well. So he was in Species and Free Willy 2 in the same year.
Damn. Killing it. Killing the 90s.
Yeah. So this is, like I said, if Michael Madsen had a heyday, this was it. And he decided to do Species. Ben Kingsley already won an Oscar for Gandhi. And he is 2 years removed in this movie. 2 years Gandhi? Removed from Schindler's List.
Oh, wow. I thought this was the movie that was prior to them getting big, but I guess not. This might have been one of those movies.
You could say that for a few of these. Like Alfred Molina is not really a known actor yet. Forrest Whitaker just had his breakout role in Crying Game. It was like his first big role. That was in 92. And Marge Helgenberger, she's like a few years away from CSI.
I just remember Molina. His first movie must have been Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I believe it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's a pretty big movie, obviously, but he doesn't have a big part in it.
Yeah.
Right.
I wanted to see what else Michael Madsen was in, like, afterward. I have no idea.
Well, Kill Bill.
Off the top of my head. Yeah.
I don't know between this movie and Kill Bill, though.
Right, yeah. I'm not 100% sure. He's probably got a bunch of stuff.
He was in Species 2.
Yeah.
He was in Species 2.
Yeah, there you go.
And of course, this was, as mentioned, this was the first starring role of Natasha Henstridge, who would go on to be in Species 2, Ghosts of Mars, and The Whole 9 Yards. Was she in The Whole 10 Yards? I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't think she was.
She has constantly gotten work, from what I remember looking at her IMDb page. It was like we had said off podcast. I don't know how she didn't become more of a thing
right
in this time period.
So in the filming of this, she's about 20 or 21, depending on when this was shot. And she's like an 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for some reason, she never, you know, she works consistently, but how she didn't become a bigger star is a question. I have my theory on it that I want to get into later.
The anticipation is killing me.
Yeah, but it is surprising because I'm not saying she's a great actress. She's fine in this movie for what she has to do. She was a model first, and then she did this role, which I think perfect casting. I mean, but Hollywood has been able to prop up plenty of people that are actresses second, essentially. There's plenty of actresses working in Hollywood right now that are not exactly the best actresses, and they get huge. They become huge. I mean, Scarlett Johansson is not the best actress in the world, but she has become an A-lister. So
she's one of the highest-paid actresses, I think.
Right. Yeah, she's probably pulling down like $30 million a movie. So it's surprising that a woman that looks like Natasha Henstridge was in the Species movies, Matthew Perry comedy, and is Ghosts of Mars a John Carpenter movie?
It is.
It's a forgotten John Carpenter movie at that. It's a little crazy. I guess I'll just go right into what my theory is on the reason why she didn't get any work. Two words. Charlize Theron.
She came along and just safeguarded everything.
Charlize Theron is a year younger than her. And she made her first breakout role was in 1996, movie 2 Days in the Valley. And came out 1 year after Species. And that's what happened.
And Cameron Diaz was also around this time too.
Cameron Diaz, but my thing is Charlize Theron was a model first, and she turned out to be an excellent actress. And so she got any roles that Natasha Henstridge would have been great for, or okay for, or perfect for, probably went to Charlize Theron, like The Devil's Advocate, among others in the 90s. So that's my theory, is that Natasha Henstridge lost all her roles that could have made her a bigger star to Charlize Theron. So RIP, Natasha Henstridge's possible A-list career.
She's made a whole bunch of Hallmark movies. So
has she?
There's at least 4 or 5 of them.
Well, you know the thing about the Hallmark movies is that they usually shoot in Canada, and she's Canadian. That makes perfect sense.
And they usually go on a run with an actress. Candace Cameron has started a run. Lacey Chabert had a run, you know, mm-hmm. with all those Christmas and holiday movies.
Speaking of another girl that never got her due, right? Lacey Chabert?
Yep.
This also features, I'm not sure if this is her first role, but it's very close to her first role, Michelle Williams. She plays the young version of Syl.
Yeah. Has she won an Oscar?
She has been nominated.
Okay. Because I was going to say that would make 3 Oscar winners in this, if she was.
Yes.
That'd be an impressive lineup. 3 Oscar winners in this type of movie. Heavy hitters, man.
Yeah, it just shows you. It's always weird going back because when I first, because she's like 14 or 15 in this, and it's pretty funny when she first popped up, I had to scroll through and see, remember when the movie was made, because she looked almost just like a slightly younger version of when she started on Dawson's Creek, which would be a couple years later. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this wasn't the same year, was it? Because that would be a really weird, being in this movie, this type of movie, and then being in Dawson's Creek in the same year. It was just weird seeing the whole cast. You're like, mm-hmm. when these guys signed up for this movie, they probably got sold that this was like going to be Alien, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh, well, they had every reason to believe that, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Right. And it is just sort of like, it's like Halloween meets Alien. There's Ben Kingsley sort of has a Donald Pleasance thing going on, Dr. Loomis aspect to it. That's how I thought of it. But speaking of that, I guess we're going to start going into the plot. Dan, why don't you take us through the plot? Why don't you give us kind of a brief summary of kind of what happens in this movie?
Sure. I'll give you an abridged version, if you will.
Yes.
So, as you said, movie opens up at a secret military base. I believe it's in Utah, and it's run by Ben Kingsley's character, and it shows a young girl, Michelle Williams' character, a young Syl. Looks like she's being put to death, basically, and she manages to escape the compound. A manhunt begins looking for this young girl, Syl. Ben Kingsley then assembles a team with Michael Madsen, Forrest Whitaker, Alfred Molina, and they begin searching for her while Syl is, it becomes known that Syl was an extraterrestrial kind of merged with human DNA. Ben Kingsley says that they received a message from outer space, and one of the messages was how to combine alien and human DNA. So Syl is a hybrid of this alien race and human DNA. So as they're searching for her, she's grown exponentially. She's gone from a 12-year-old child to a woman in her early 20s in a matter of a day. So while this is going on, it becomes clear that Syl's objective is to procreate her species.
Yeah.
And Ben Kingsley's team is sent to find her and kill her. So while this is going on, Syl is going through potential mates, killing them in grisly fashion, some of them. Some of them are pretty funny.
I love the burn on Los Angeles that Ben Kingsley character gives in the beginning, basically saying, oh, whatever crazy shit she does, it's not like anybody will notice anyway. It's L.A.
Well, yeah, and Michael Madsen says it's the city of the future. That's a weird line for L.A. I don't think it would be the city of the future, but...
Also, so, question.
Yes.
What accent is Ben Kingsley attempting in this movie?
Yeah.
Because it's all over the place.
Is it Midwestern, I guess? I mean, he's stationed in Utah, so...
It's like... It dips in and out. Like, maybe he's trying to do a South African thing.
Yeah, it's never really known, right?
It's not good, whatever it is.
Yeah, there are times when he kind of cuts in and out.
It's not Oscar-worthy, that's for sure.
It is not. It is not, but I forget exactly what he says, but it's the part when they follow Syl's trail on the train, and he's talking to Michael Madsen about something, and his dialect goes in and out of American and semi, like, oh, he says helicopter weird. He's like, we need all the helicopters. Okay. Syl then goes and camouflages herself as a normal, everyday, blonde-haired, beautiful woman walking around L.A.
Yeah, sure. Normal, yeah. Everyday.
Yeah, normal, everyday, blonde, beautiful woman, just wearing wedding gowns and with fanny packs on them. The fanny packs killed me. I wish that there was more fanny pack in this movie.
Dan needed more fanny pack.
That's what I needed. I was on board until they got rid of the fanny pack. And so she's adapting to human culture very quickly. She learns English. She learns how to drive a car. And she knows how to use money after a certain amount of time. So she goes to a club. She picks up a guy and winds up murdering him because he would not have been a perfect mate. And then, you know, a few antics happen, and finally she finds, I feel like I'm skipping too far ahead, but she stages her own death at one point because she realizes that Ben Kingsley and his team just won't stop hunting her. So she abducts a woman naked. She jumps into the car naked, which was, I thought that was a pretty interesting. It was smart on her part because if you think about it, you're, natural instinct is to help someone who just jumps in front of you naked, like, oh my god, help me. Yeah, of course, that's usually what a person does. So she kidnaps this woman, pretends, fakes her own death, and then with Michael Madsen and his team thinking that, you know, oh, job well done, they kind of sit back and relax, and she winds up procreating with Alfred Molina's character. She winds up giving birth in the, they never tell you where it is, but it's in a sewer system or a tunnel system beneath LA, the catacombs of LA, the famous catacombs.
Yeah. Well, and LA does have a subway system, so it could be in there.
Possibly. It looks like it's a cavern system, if you will. I have no idea what it is, but
anyways. LA subway system made famous in the movie Volcano. That we discussed earlier.
Oh, that's right. There were some very intense parts of Volcano that took place in the subway. But anyway, so she winds up giving birth to a male child. I guess it's a hybrid. Forrest Whitaker winds up burning that sucker alive. We wind up getting a pretty anticlimactic finale, if you will. Michael Madsen mutters a really bad catchphrase and blows Syl's head off. There's only one head. And that's pretty much where it ends. And we get kind of a little cliffhanger where a rat seems to have been maybe intertwined with the alien's DNA as well. So I guess that sets up for Species 2 with Natasha. What's her name? Natasha Henstridge?
Henstridge.
Yeah. Henstridge. So, yeah, that's the abridged version. There's a few things that happen in between, but I feel like I hit on pretty much all the major plot points.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah.
And you would be surprised from the synopsis I read that I don't think that rat even comes into play in Species 2.
It doesn't, because I've seen Species 2 as well.
I would have loved to have seen a rat transform into like this like solid dime. You know what I mean? Like, oh, now it's this lowest of the low, and then all of a sudden it's this smoking hot chick. That would have been an interesting transformation.
You know, that's pretty much it. How hot is Natasha Henstridge in this movie, by the way? I mean, I feel like we've mentioned it. I feel like that's what this movie is based around. I feel like someone saw a picture of her and then wrote this movie and then got her.
Yeah. it was definitely made for, if not her, someone exactly like her. You know, like who else could it have, like maybe Pamela Anderson at that point.
Right.
Would have been maybe their top choice, but it's if not her, then yeah, Natasha Henstridge was.
Or knowing the way movies are made, when they wrote it might have been for Pam Anderson.
That's what I mean. You know, yeah. Like they had Pam Anderson in mind, and you know, I guess at that point she was too. I don't know how big she was in terms of acting. She's not a very good actress, obviously, but I'm glad they went with Natasha Henstridge.
I wonder if it's a opposite thing of normal LA, in that they couldn't go with an actress like her because of implants. And it would be pretty hard to explain.
That's true. Well, I mean, it very easily could have been, if you wanted to go that way, Mark, I feel that, you know, how she's adapting so quickly. So if she's in LA and she sees all these women with massive boobs, she could just kind of like, almost like Terminator 3, how she grows they could have been ahead of their time with that, Mark. Think about that. That's cutting edge stuff right there.
But yeah, but it was obviously a vehicle for her. It was weird how they got Ben Kingsley for this movie where he was just looking for a payday.
Well, I think Anthony was right. It sounded like another Alien, but on Earth. This could be a potential series. Either that or, again, maybe it was one of those things where they were friends or he owed a favor. But, and again, it's not like these guys were massive stars at the time.
Ben Kingsley was also in Blood Rain.
There you go. Yeah, that's true. It might be a Michael Caine situation. It's almost like a Nicolas Cage situation where it's just, yeah, I'll take it. It's whatever. Yeah. It's work.
Yeah.
Why turn down work, you know?
But, yeah, I think the one thing that I did dislike about the movie is that it was just so mediocre for what they had assembled. In terms of
it could acting, have been much better
acting, and even the like singular plot, just mixing DNA with human DNA, and then the whole eco, you could play around a lot with that, but it just seemed like it was, like Ant said, erotic sci-fi more than they could have actually done sci-fi with it. It was just, at times it seems like they were just making excuses to show off, you know, her boobs and stuff like that in scenes. They could have made it at least a little bit more interesting. That would have maybe made it. Is it even a cult favorite?
I don't think so.
This movie's a 10. That's all I know. 10 out of 10.
Well, this movie works better if it's either with like no Michael Madsen or just Michael Madsen. And I say that because his character is introduced as a hunter for the government. So like, he basically he's enrolled by the government to find their problems and eliminate them. And he really doesn't do much hunting in this movie. The hunting is really done by Forrest Whitaker's character.
Right,
so,
he plays an empath.
Yes, so think of Mantis, the younger kids who might be listening to this. Think of Mantis from Guardians of the Galaxy 2,
yeah.
But just a good actor. And in my opinion, if you get rid of Michael Madsen's character and you have just Forrest Whitaker's character as kind of the hunter person, then yeah, that
almost like an Indian. He's almost like an Indian tracker.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Like, oh, she was here. I feel her presence kind of thing, you know? Or if you want it to be that way, just give Michael Madsen that kind of ability. Michael Madsen's character really just spends the majority of the movie ducking and aiming his gun. And if you go back and watch it, you'll notice whenever he comes into the frame, he'll just like jump and duck. You know, it's like he's it's like he's stuck in a really corny action flick. Maybe that's what he thought it was going to be. It really doesn't become an action flick until the last act of the movie.
Yeah. Even the part that they tried to make shove a little bit of a love story in there between, you know, Michael Madsen's character and Marge Helgenberger. They did a good job, at least, not having them outwardly say anything. They knew that everybody watching the movie would go, well, why doesn't Forrest Whitaker's character pick up on this? And so they're like, okay, he's got to be the one that says everything. The one scene that would have made the story a little bit better for me and just that aspect of it would have been if the first time he mentions anything, Forrest Whitaker would have been at the end when he says, she's waiting for you or something like that. But he has that conversation with Alfred Molina earlier in the movie about them liking each other.
I think he says something at the end when she goes to bed. And
yeah.
Because he's like, she'll still wait for you or something like that.
Yeah. Like that, if that was the first time it was mentioned by him, I think they would have done a really good job with how they did that story with them. But doing it earlier, it's like how they were thinking too far ahead and trying to be clever with foreshadowing and things like that.
Right.
Because they even do the foreshadowing with the child and goes, well, if it's a male, God help us. Power. Because who knows how many people he could mate with.
Also, like, since you brought up the male, I was extremely uncomfortable that you actually see full frontal of a child.
Yeah.
I mean, it's split second, but that was weird. I don't know how they kind of got away with that.
I think if in the movie sense where they wanted to do a show rather than tell sort of thing, having a quick glance to see that it's a male, it was the second and third times when he shows up full frontal as worse. But if it's just the one thing where you see the child, you just see the head, and then when it stands up and then you
see the head again.
Yeah, and you see the second head.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh shit. That is the last time you need to see it.
Yeah. Right. I think it was pretty obvious it was a male as well.
Yeah, but
at least to me.
Yeah, you gotta have that, even if it's like a quick moment, and then as long as you don't sexualize it, I don't. Mm-hmm. I think that's how they got away with it.
So you're putting this on me, Mark, is what you're saying. Mm-hmm. This is my problem.
No. I mean, it's slightly uncomfortable to see that. I could have done without it. The way they probably convinced the censors from having any big issue with it was to just say that it's a newborn baby and we got to show it's a man. There's nothing sexual with this. It's just, this is what happens when you're born, you're naked, sort of thing. Yeah, I think it was the overshowing of it. Like, if they did it once and then shot from the chest up from there on out, because he did nothing with his legs until he morphed into the alien. And that would require a full body shot. I think that's on the editor's part more than anything for that. But
shame on you, editor.
Do we know who that person is?
I can look it up. I can tell you in like a few minutes.
But yeah. The main thing coming from this movie is that it's probably far and away the best movie we've watched.
Yeah.
and it's like a 6, maybe.
Conrad Buff IV.
Oh, he has the 4th in there.
Conrad Buff III is very disappointed in you. Holy shit, though. This guy, the guy is responsible for editing Titanic? Jeez. Terminator 2, The Abyss. Holy shit! This guy's got some Arlington Road, True Lies.
Wow, this guy's a legend.
Short Circuit 2, Solar Babies, Dante's Peak.
This is one of those things. Like, if you could pinpoint where things start to go downhill.
And if
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
And if you believe Alex Jones, it was the scene in this movie that made him popular in Hollywood.
Spaceballs. What, Spaceballs?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Damn, this guy's got some cred.
Yeah, I guess we should watch what we say. I think overall, Anthony and I were talking about this off air. Surprisingly, this movie did very well at the box office. On a $35 million budget, worldwide gross was $113 million. Gross $60 million in the U.S.
Yeah, so just about doubled its budget in the U.S. alone.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. This is like the first legitimate movie we've watched. I guess Jaws 4 is legitimate, but it's also the third sequel to a Jaws movie, so...
Yeah, so like this movie was pretty cool because it kind of, like you said, it was like Halloween and Alien, and it also had a little bit of aliens sprinkled in there, obviously with the idea of populating and having more like xenomorph. They never really give a name to what Syl's character or species is. It's just an alien life form blended together. But,
we haven't mentioned H.R. Geiger's role in this film at all. He's designed he made the designs for this, right?
Yeah, and it's super obvious too. Yeah. I mean, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. It's just this: if you didn't know any better, and if you knew who H.R. Geiger was, you'd be like, "Oh, that's either based off of him or that's him." Yeah. So,
trying to find his name in the.
They mention it in the credits.
Like, yeah,
they do. I think
trying to find it on IMDb.
Yeah.
I thought the creature design was cool, but and again, this is something Anthony and I discussed. I enjoyed the parts where it was the practical effects and not the computer generated effects, because this was still like CGI was still very young at this point. And it was what this was 95. So yeah, I mean, well, Toy Story was right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this movie just, it didn't have the budget for it. Maybe I don't know, but you could tell CGI had not yet gotten there. Obviously
it was quite poor. Kind of the third act is really where this movie falls apart. Mm-hmm. It's once they get into the sewers, it's just kind of tedious because it goes on for like 15, 20 minutes. And it's no longer Natasha Henstridge in there, so it's like, who cares at this point?
Yeah. Right. We don't want to... As cool as the monster's design is, I mean, I can only look at tendrils coming out of nipples for so long.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that was a wig she had on for the when she went to the black hair.
Oh, probably.
I would imagine.
I would think so.
Yeah. And everyone got fooled very quickly by her.
She's not blonde anymore.
Right.
I guess they've never actually seen what she looks like.
They only had like a computer generated image, right?
Yeah.
So it was grainy. So I'll give him a pass, but Alfred Molina should know better.
Right. Yeah. Well, I would assume he's drunk. I guess that's the Long Island iced tea.
Yeah.
He's drunk, so he's not really thinking. And he just wants to get laid. So there's a super hot chick in his room that after he struck out with those two chicks.
Right.
The bar.
Right.
So they're like, all right, well, this is the thing. I mean, like, you probably think you're probably going to get stabbed or robbed, though.
At least robbed.
A woman in your hotel room that shouldn't be there, and then she just wants to fuck you.
Right.
Yeah, like, miles out of your league.
Yeah,
that's a red flag.
Yeah, the drunkenness and him believing that it was over is definitely the excuse, because you're going through this investigation, and the moment that a woman just appears in your room and then doesn't care about protection should be throwing alarm bells off in your head, at least if being in this investigation.
I thought that was pretty funny how he mentioned, what about protection?
Yeah. He must not gotten laid in a long time. So he was just like, oh, let's risk it.
He's willing to roll the dice, and I don't blame him.
She'll never be able to find me when she's looking for like child support.
I didn't say my name. I'm in the clear.
Yeah.
The government will protect him. But I think you're right up until... Because I like the cat and mouse theme that they have. You know, she's always one step ahead of them. It's cool, and the premise is very simple. she's just trying to procreate. That's all, you know, and she's going on a killing spree. And there's a decent body count in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Decent amount of gore as well. Nothing too out there, I would say, though.
Yeah, and I thought it played well that they didn't show the cocoon. Or I missed it if they did. When she went from Michelle Williams to Natasha Henstridge.
They do.
They show it? Did I just not look? Was I looking away at the time?
Maybe. Did she fall out of it?
Yeah, she falls out naked. Mm-hmm. That's the first glimpse you get of her, her glorious bosom.
I may have been on IMDb at that point.
Yeah, she kills the conductor. Yep, and then she just like falls out.
Oh, okay. Then I missed it. Yeah. I might have been looking up Michelle Williams' age at that point.
Yep. Well, there you go, man. All right.
Then I take all of that back.
It's already on the podcast.
It's not like
can't take it back.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's not the like world I will know. It's not like I didn't get to see her naked at any other point in this movie.
Right.
Yeah, that's the least cool nudity that she has in the movie. Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't skip out on it though. That wasn't the only part you see her naked. I know that sounds like I'm being very crass, if you will, but
mm-hmm.
God damn it, man. She is a... Whew.
She is so fine.
Very fine. Yeah. let me just make sure my wife's not behind me. Okay, we're good.
Yeah.
And yeah, she is smoking hot. Yeah. I can't praise the casting director enough for finding her.
Yes, the casting director is going into the They Call This a Movie Hall of Fame.
There you go.
Which I just made up just now.
Yeah, well deserved.
So Kathy Sandrich Gelfond and Amanda Mackey are the first inductees.
And they get a you don't have to go together. Fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one main thing I was thinking, and maybe a final touch on this, could this story and premise work if they rebooted it as a series?
Kind of like how they're doing, Child's Play is going to become a series now. Is something along those lines, you mean?
Yeah, like a sci-fi, like, say, 10, 13 episode Netflix.
Sure.
Yeah. I'd say, like, eight episodes. 13 episodes, this is going off topic, but 13 episodes is miserable.
We know how you feel about longer than... Because the Marvel Netflix shows are usually 13 episodes long.
Yeah.
And they could stand to be a few episodes.
They could be 10. Yes. 10 episodes is fine, because you get to that 10th episode, you're like, oh, you're done. Like, oh, no, I got 3 more hours left. Fuck me.
Yeah, because as we talked about, the cat and mouse stuff in the first two acts are probably the best paced and... You know, right. So you stretch that out over 6 to 8, depending on if you're doing 8 to 10.
Well, you know,
then you can have the penultimate and the finale be when they finally get her cornered or whatever.
I think this would work as a series if you added a little bit of the thing to it, where paranoia kind of strikes, where you don't know who is the alien at one point.
It just changes from different hot chicks, like every a couple episodes.
Sort of, yeah. Or, you know, it could be there's a growing dissension amongst the group trying to hunt this creature down as well. Yeah. You know, because like, okay, so in one episode, super hot chick gets with someone, like maybe one of the crew members or whatever. And then that gives birth and then assumes the role of the crew member. Something along those lines, just so you can grow a little bit of a paranoia with both the, you know, the crew and the viewer is what I think. I mean, listen, I'm not.
Or you could always add a certain aspect to them is that she can take the form of whatever she kills.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, you sprinkle a little bit of the thing in there,
yeah.
But have it set in modern time and run with it.
And that's how you get around facial recognition and all that stuff.
Right.
It sounds kind of like the movie Fallen with Denzel Washington.
Never saw it.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Fallen.
Yeah.
All right, I got to check that out.
That's a good one.
So overall, can we kind of get to the overall of this movie? Do you think we've touched on everything or is there anything else?
Yeah, no, I think that's it.
Yeah, I think this movie, as Mark said, and Anthony has also mentioned, you know, this was easily our best movie that we're reviewing, but it's not 100%. It's strong for 2/3 of the way, and then it just totally stumbles to the finish line, dragging itself, I think. If you change a few things here and there, I could see why this movie did well in theaters, to be honest.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious, especially that time period of film, where you could have a nice cast that has one or two people that are known, like Forest Whitaker and Michael Madsen at the time. Mm-hmm. Put a hot chick on the poster, and then throw a sci-fi story, which doesn't seem too complicated on top of itself. And you're also coming off the heels of, when you're doing DNA stuff, you're coming off the heels of Jurassic Park, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, because the words dino DNA kept going through my head throughout Ben Kingsley's speech when he's explaining how they, you know, made Sill. It met all the traditional marketing of how to get a movie to at least be good enough to make its money back.
Yeah.
And
this fits right into the era of 90s cheese.
Yeah.
It's definitely a time and place sort of thing.
A little bit earlier than your Deep Impact and Armageddon, but sort of in that vein.
This fits right in of like Nicolas Cage 97 movies of like Face Off and Con Air.
Yeah.
But with some skin.
Right. But, and I think
fantastic skin.
Yes, like dynamite.
We don't want to harp on this too much, but it's pretty excellent.
Yes, this movie definitely blows all the other movies out of the water. Simply, even if it was just that, if we were just basing it off that, this movie crushes all the other movies.
Oh, absolutely! Is this right? Oh no, well, we watched Skyscraper, mm-hmm. which
shows a good amount. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's very lackluster compared to this.
Yes.
It's just not well-written boob, not well-acted boob. This one was, I don't want to say well-written, but yeah, it matches. It's not just there for, it's not boob for boob's sake.
I think there's might be only one gratuitous scene you could do when she was figuring out the bra in her hotel room. That might be the only one that you didn't really need.
Mm-hmm. I'll argue that because she didn't know what it was. So, you know, but she's standing there, she's looking at herself, and
yeah,
she's piecing it together, Mark.
I that's why I said it might be the only one.
Stop ruining this for us, Mark.
Yeah. Prude.
Oh, I'm sorry that there was 10 seconds of boob that I'm trying to take out of this movie.
Yeah, come on, man. Well, you don't deprive us of 10 seconds. We need those 10 seconds.
Join us next week sometimes when we replace Mark with someone that's more open to nudity in movies.
Maybe
spit in the face of a good thing.
Maybe I was just ruined by that Emily Browning movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's, I don't know what podcast ruined you, Mark. But you need to come back. You need to come back next podcast with a better attitude, my friend. All right? I want no naysayers.
All right, so I guess that's going to do it for our species, a part of it. But now it's time for trivia. They call this a trivia game. So, as mentioned, this episode is in conjunction with The Predator coming out. So the two topics on hand for this trivia contest is Predator trivia from the original film. Right. And pop culture aliens trivia.
Oh. Okay.
So we're going to start. Who started the Jaws 4?
Do you remember? Mark did.
All right. And then we'll start with Dan. Okay.
I'm not sure.
Dan. First, so quick question. How well do you guys know Predator?
Well, I think I know it pretty well, but I'm sure this will prove me wrong.
I'm just curious because it's not really a big movie, and like I've seen it like twice, maybe.
I've seen it probably double digits times.
Okay, so maybe some of these questions are a little easy for you then. But
I'm
we'll
nervous
start
now. I'm so scared.
That's fine. Nothing can be as embarrassing as the last round when I think Dan shut me out. So
I think I think you got one at the last, okay. Like the last question. I think you got to save yourself. Dan, first question for Predator trivia. In the original movie Predator, they had to redesign the costume in the middle of filming. But in the original costume, which actor played the Predator?
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah. Woo! All right, now I feel better. Got the first one out of the way.
All right. Mark.
Yes.
Again, I think these first two questions are a little easy. So we'll see. Okay. What was the name? What was the name of Arnold Schwarzenegger's character?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, and you don't know this movie that well, but I thought this was going to be easy.
First and last name?
I'm just looking for a first name.
Okay. It's Dutch.
Do you know his last name by any chance?
Rudder. No. no, I don't. I just know Dutch.
Okay. That's all I was asking for. I saw his last name before, but I didn't write it down.
Okay.
I'm going to have to get all my points on the pop culture aliens.
The pop culture aliens.
Okay. Mark, it's your question again. Pop culture alien quiz. What planet was Alf from?
Oh, Jesus.
Is it an actual planet in our solar system?
No.
It is not a planet in our solar system.
I know it's not.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
I never saw Elf.
I did see Elf, and it's killing me.
You can't steal?
I cannot steal.
The answer is Melmac.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That was in my wheelhouse, too, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay, question goes to Dan.
All right.
Which A-list actor had a cameo in E.T. as Elliot's teacher that was ultimately left on the cutting room floor?
Which A-list actor had a cameo? Okay. So E.T. came out early 90s, right? Oh, no, that was 80s. Shit. Tom Cruise.
No. Mark, can you steal?
Is it A-list at the time or A-list now?
I'd say both-ish.
Okay. I don't actually know the answer, but I'm going to take a stab at it for the time period and say like a Dustin Hoffman.
No. Okay. The correct answer is Harrison Ford.
Okay.
Oh, okay. That makes sense because it's Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, shit.
This is when it goes downhill, folks. This is going to be swinging a miss on both of our accounts.
So it's still 2-0 Dan.
All right.
And he gets
That's usually how it goes, right? Like someone gets two or three questions and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Next question goes to Dan.
All right.
Back to Predator trivia.
All right.
The original Predator takes place in the fictional country of Val Verde. Name one other movie where the same fictional country is featured. There are two. I just need one.
All right, so...
And I'll give you a hint. It's not another Predator movie.
Yeah, I don't think that would be... let's see. Commando?
That's right.
Oh, wow! That was a good... that was a stab in the dark.
For an extra point, I'll give Dan an extra chance to guess the second one, and then if he doesn't, I'll get Mark to answer.
Just trying to think of jungle movies.
I only have one guess.
No, I don't know.
Mark?
I was originally going to say Rambo, maybe Rambo 2 or something, but...
Incorrect.
No.
Die Hard 2.
Oh.
Die Hard 2.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that where the general's flying from?
I'm not sure.
Interesting. Okay. No, I would not have guessed that.
I was going to wonder if it's going to be a slight trick question when you said it's not another Predator movie and it ended up being like an Alien versus Predator movie.
I wouldn't trick you like that. All these questions are on the level.
Okay.
God, Commando.
That was a good guess.
Yeah.
So it's currently 3-0.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mark? Another Predator trivia question.
Oh, Christ.
Predator stars features very few of one starring role for writer-director Shane Black. While on set, Shane Black wrote a screenplay that would eventually become a feature film. What screenplay?
I think I know this one, too. Not to put any pressure on you, Mark.
No, because I'm going through... Yeah, I'm completely drawing a blank on even Shane Black movies. Because that was not where I thought that question was going. Yeah, let's see if you know it, Dan.
Is it Lethal Weapon?
No.
Oh, shit.
The Last Boy Scout.
Ah, damn okay. It. All right. He did write Lethal Weapon, right?
He did.
Okay, so I wasn't too far off. All right.
I think that might have came out before Predator?
That's what I thought. That's why I wasn't... That's the only Shane movie I could think of. And I'm like, I think that was before. Or he should have had it written by that point.
He right. wrote Iron Man 3.
Yep.
while on set with Predator.
All right. Still with Mark. For some reason.
Yeah, because let's just go through them for the hell of it.
Yeah, bang right. them out.
Maybe I'll get one.
Mark, which alien-themed Will Smith movie had the biggest opening weekend?
This is where it sounds like a trick.
It's probably the easiest answer, too, right?
No, because it could be... I'm sitting here trying to think if there's a third one in my head. I'm going to be wrong because I'm out thinking myself here. But Men in Black 2?
Wrong. Mark, Dan, can you steal?
I was going to say Men in Black 2. I'm going to say Men in Black 3 then.
The answer is Men in Black 3.
There we go. if he had guessed Men in Black 1, I would have gone Men in Black 2. So.
Yeah, like so, I was trying to think if there was a third, like either Independence Day or Men in Black, like if there was a third one that I wasn't thinking of.
Nope.
It's not After Earth, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so there is one question left. Dan is winning 4-0.
Let's just see if he can
All right.
make this worse.
Well, I didn't sweep the Predator one, unfortunately, so.
That's true. Dan,
okay.
What New Jersey town became famous for its role in the Orson Welles radio broadcast of War of the Worlds?
Bayonne.
Wrong. You're thinking of where they shot their War of the Worlds movie.
Okay.
Mark, can you steal?
Don't ask me why this town came to my head because I don't even know if it's right. Is it Harrison, New Jersey, by any chance?
It is not.
Okay. I don't know why that town came to my head, but...
I don't know either, because it wasn't the right answer.
Just as good as any, I guess.
The correct answer is Grover Mills.
Okay.
Oh,
that's where the first unidentified object falls onto a farmland. So, Dan takes it again.
What was the tiebreaker question?
All right, tiebreaker I'm going to go into.
I'm just curious. We'll do it, but I'm...
Absolutely. So we mentioned a lot about the quality of this cast, who have accrued many awards. And you guys are aware of the EGOT, right?
Yeah.
Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many EGOT nominations does the main cast have? So this is nominations in Emmys, Grammys, Oscars, and Jesus. Tonys.
Can I guess?
Yeah, I'm going to let you both guess a number.
All right, Mark, do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
You can go first. I'm doing a little math in my head.
I'm gonna say one.
Okay, Mark?
One person has been nominated for all four, or the total number of nominations?
Total number of nominations in those four awards.
Oh, I thought it was for all of it.
No. So,
I'll let you answer again because I was just making sure.
Add up the nominations that the principal cast had in Oscar now, Emmys, Grammys, Oscars, and Tonys.
Okay. Well, because obviously we just said that two of them won an Oscar.
Mm-hmm. So, we're just talking about Emmy noms. So. Okay. So it's at least two.
Okay.
That's why I asked. Okay. So my answer completely depends on how many times Marge Helgenberger was nominated for an Emmy, which may not be high, but my thought would be like 21.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to go lower. I'm going to say 15.
Okay. The correct answer is 28.
Mark, there you go.
And I've got the numbers here. Ben Kingsley was nominated for 4 Oscars, won one, 4 Emmy noms, and 1 Grammy.
Nice.
Forrest Whitaker was nominated for 1 Oscar, which he won, and he has 3 Emmy noms. Marge Helgenberger was nominated for 5 Emmys. Michelle Williams has 4 Oscar nominations and 1 Tony Award.
Oh, there you go.
And Alfred Molina has 2 Emmy nominations and 3 Tony nominations.
I think that's the number that threw me off.
So, 28.
Good job, Mark. That was good.
Yeah, so, Mark wins the tiebreaker.
Yeah, I knew.
If only he could tie.
Yeah, exactly. I knew Marge was at least 5 or more. Because that show was on, she was on the air
for like 15 seasons.
Yeah, 12, 15 seasons. And, you know, and they were just throwing out Emmy noms to CBS dramas.
I mean, that was the number one show on television for like half a decade, at least.
Yeah, and then once it became your turn to start getting nominated in that show.
Right.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So, I'm surprised well done, the four Oscar noms for Michelle Williams.
Yeah, right? It's her birthday today, too. So happy birthday, Michelle Williams. Turned 38 today.
How fitting.
Yeah.
Good for her.
I'll give you her nominations, too, right now. Supporting role, So in 2006, supporting role in Brokeback Mountain. 2011, leading role, Blue Valentine.
Yeah.
2012, leading actress in My Week with Marilyn. And 2017, Manchester by the Sea, supporting role.
Okay. I probably only would have got 2 of those.
Yeah. So, happy birthday, Michelle.
Was the Marilyn one the one they thought she was going to win?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And now no one remembers that movie, so.
I remember that movie.
Yeah, no, you don't.
Jen likes it a lot, so that's the only way I know it.
That year, Meryl Streep won for The Iron Lady.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah.
All right, well, those are homage to Michelle Williams today.
Yes.
The best birthday gift she could get.
apparently she hates the movie Species because she got bullied when she was younger for her role in it.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah, so... So not the happiest of birthdays with us bringing up this movie, but happy birthday to you. Anyway, Michelle Williams, you are a fine actress.
Very fine.
So that's going to do it for this episode. That was Species. Once again, The Predator opens this weekend, Friday.
I think the only thing I know about that movie is that, was it Key from Key and Peele is in it?
Correct.
And Olivia Munn's in it, I believe.
Yes.
So is Alfie Alferson.
Who's Alfie Alferson?
He's Theon in Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alfie Allen. I'm sorry. Thomas Jane is in it as well.
Oh, look at all these people.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it. Maybe I'll see that Friday.
This isn't the one Adrian Brody's in, right?
No, that was Predators. That was like 8 years ago.
Okay.
I saw that movie.
They're re-releasing Predators to theaters, Mark.
Yeah.
Jacob Tremblay's in it, too. That little kid's in everything.
Yeah. It's
Thomas Jane, Jake Busey, Sterling K. Brown from This Is Us.
Yep.
He's also a doctor. In Black Panther. Yvonne Strahovski from Chuck, who's kind of like... She's kind of like Natasha Henstridge of her time. There's like she's like be super better. Hot, but like not, she was in Chuck, and that was it.
And reprising his role as the Predator is Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, there you go.
Perfect.
and for video game fans out there, she's also in Mass Effect 2.
Nice.
Yes, so that's gonna do it for this episode. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Looking over the new releases coming out in 2 weeks from now, it's looking a little bleak. I got to be honest with you.
We could do like a miscellaneous then.
Maybe, because it looks like the biggest movie coming out that week is Night School.
Mm.
So unless we could find a movie about schools, maybe we'll do a High School Musical episode.
Possibly, yeah.
Or a Kevin Hart movie. But I don't really want to do that. Yeah. we'll figure it out. So that'll come out in 2 weeks from now. But what coming out next week, we'll have our regular flagship podcast, the Main Damie podcast, coming up, where that'll be on a different podcast stream. So just look for the Main Damie podcast if you want to check that out. And once again, it will not come up on this feed. But if you want to check us out for everything we do, we're on themaindamie.com. And you could find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram just by searching The Main Damie. Dan, you want to plug anything? Any the MCU podcast coming up anytime soon?
Yeah, actually, Jen and I just went and saw The Nun last night, the continuation of the Conjuring-verse, I guess, the Conjuring-verse. So we are planning on doing a new podcast for that. We'll probably record tomorrow night and try to get it out by the end of the week. So you can find that on Twitter at the_MCU_podcast. You could also find us on Podbean. And I always forget what the Podbean link is because I never go there. That's usually Jen's job, so I forget it. But we're also on iTunes. Just search the MCU podcast. And I guess the Podbean one is just podbean.com/MCU podcast. I have to double check that, though, so don't hold me to it.
Okay. Mark, you have anything to plug?
Yeah, so Stranger Damies will be up on Wednesday. Excuse me. And as it is every week, when does this go up again? And
these go up on Thursday.
All right, so I guess the same day, because I was as you listen to this, you can also go over to themaindamie.com and read. I will have our little two paragraph introduction to our third annual Extra Life marathon that we'll be doing at the beginning of November here. So be on the lookout for that. I'll get you all the basic details that you need to know as of right now. And some of the, things will be announcing stuff, going throughout the rest of the, month and in October, and then you can, through the Main Damie Twitter feed, if you got any suggestions for games or anything like that, feel free to send it over. But it'll lay out what we're planning so far. And, if any big, things come up, will be, announced as we go along. But, so Thursday, look for the introductory, post on themaindamie.com for, our third annual. I haven't come up with a name for it yet. The last one was Electric Boogaloo, I gotta come up with something a little more clever than that. So that's about it, in terms of that, with with Strangers Amy. It's just regular episodes, and then we're probably going to do a Talking with Strangers episode when we can. It'll probably post at either the end of this month or the beginning of October. I'm going to try, and might be some extra long episodes coming up as I try to catch up to when we're going to record next, just so that we don't have to worry about spoiling people on things. So yeah, that's about it.
Great.
Awesome.
For personal Twitters, I am at Andelvec. You can find Mark at Off the Mark Tweet. Mm-hmm. And you can find Dan at DAquino122.
Correct.
Great. I always seem to get that right.
Yeah, you're good at this stuff. I always commend you for that.
And yeah, we've already kind of gone through all the places you get us. Once again, this will be, you'll be hearing this on Thursday. Watch out next week for the main Damie podcast, which will go up that Thursday, and then we'll be back the following Thursday for They Call This a Movie. And then we'll be getting right on the heels of 31 Days of Horror, which will bring some Halloween / horror episodes of They Call This a Movie. So for Dan Aquino and Mark Myers, this is Anthony DelVecchio telling Roger Donaldson to go fuck himself.